Good morning. Thank you for getting up early to come to this meeting. My name is Chen Xichuan and from Montana State University, and I'd like to acknowledge the causes Tucker Porter and Yusuf Muhammad sitting in the audience. And we're going to show you some work on CRP land this morning. As you know, that conservation reserve program was initiated to and designed to protect those environmentally sensitive land. And in 2010, about 12.5 million hectares of CRP land was enrolled in USA, and of which about 10% in Montana. So these lands have a potential to use for biofuel feedstock production. So the DOE has a project called a Regional Biomass Partnership. So that have a CRP group actually to evaluate the potential of CRP land for biofuel production. That program goes through the Sangren Research Center and led by D.K. Lee at the University of Illinois. So my role is working at the Montana side over there. Okay, so this is the Montana side over there. So the objective of this project is to evaluate the potential biomass for production. And then also we try to apply nitrogen to see how that affects the yield and the quality. And we another graduate students are working on that to try to look at if the remote sensing technology can be used to estimate the yield and quality of the biomass from CRP land. So the study have a treatment. We use a 3-rate nitrogen and then have a 2 harvest timings, one at peak growth and another one is outer frost kill. And then remote sensing, we use 2 sensors. One is a crop circle, and then another one is the ASD, that spectral radiometer. And then after scanning the biomass, we took a biomass sample from a small quadrat to do the yield, estimated yield, and then also test the chemicals. So this is what the field looked like. It's pretty big plot. It's each plot have about an acre. So we cut half at peak growth stage, and then when outer frost kill, then we cut another half. So and then we bale up and then weigh the bale in a pickup truck, and then use that sensor. Remote sensor, handheld sensor to sense that a small area, and then after sensing that, we creep the biomass and dry them and separate the legume and grass, and then do the chemical analysis on that. So this is what the result looked like. If you can see actually 2 harvest timing. Okay. So at the July harvest, basically peak growth stage, actually the biomass actually increased with the nitrogen application. But when the biomass harvest at the out of frost kill, basically the not much response to the nitrogen. The yield have no response to the nitrogen application. And the reason is we have 2 species, alfalfa and the grass, wheatgrass. So with the nitrogen application, actually the grass percentage decrease with the increase in the nitrogen rate, the proportion of the grass, the alfalfa decrease, but the proportion grass, the biomass actually increased with the nitrogen application. And then at the December, October, outer frost kill, basically the biomass have more great proportion compared to alpha-1. The reason is that alpha, by that time, alpha-1 leaf drop. So let's make the remote sensing estimate more difficult because the species change. So we use the LED sensor, as you know, that the crop circle actually sends three bands, red and red edge, and then near infrared, and then NDVI was calculated with this formula. And then we use these two models. One is crop circle NDVI model, basically is use NDVI, and then we use the indicate variable here to represent the peak growth and the dormancy. And then at the meantime, we also use multiple regression, basically use the three bands, band-wise regression, this red, near-infrared, and red edge to do the modeling. And you can see is the NDVI model. It generally fit quite well with R squared, 0.69, and then same thing with the bandwidth regression and its regression model. And then the estimate result, you can see this overall average biomass is 2476, and then estimate was 2294, and then the difference is about 182 kilograms. And then with the bandwidth, get a similar result, 2476, and then estimate 2321. And however, if we break down to the stage, each stage, generally the model predict better at the peak growth stage, but it's doing very poor at the dormancy outer plot scale. So we also look at the full spectrum, that's that ASD, that full spectrum radiometer, that have a wavelength from 400 to 2400, and then that show up the graph like this. And then we did actually for each stage we used that backward elimination regression and find the significant wavelength. So and end up the you can see that the at the boost stage that wavelength most sensitive to the response to biomass is 760, 775, and 1015, and 1040. And then at peak growth, actually, it's more responsive to 1036, 1125, 1160. And then, however, at the dormancy or frost kill, the most sensitive wavelength is 2420, 2420. So that's a different wave region to respond to biomass. Actually, we did the NDVI with a log NDVI to biomass, actually end up, you can see it's interesting that boost growth stage and peak growth actually they are filled to the same group very well, but however at the dormancy they are separate from there. Basically it's not responsive to the same region. So this actually have a quite interesting publication in 2008 in Grassland Science, and in that paper, actually the authors also find that the biomass at that when they have a green biomass respond to the wavelength 775, and also that NIR at the 970 to 1125. However, you can see for the chemical component response to actually different wavelengths. For example, if cellulose and lignans actually respond to over 20, 90, 2275, that region. So that's why that at the dormancy probably we have to use a different wavelength to predict that biomass. So in summary, the models constructed from remote sensing sensor data have a potential to estimate biomass. The technology have potential to be used as a tool for land resource management. However, the more research is needed to determine the spatial and temporal robustness. So because of the time reason, I haven't include the chemical analysis portion here, but we're still working on that. So, any questions?
Okay.
Yes?
Where would you use this remote sensing in the real world? If I'm a farmer and I have these fields, why would I want to use either the crop circle or that other?
Actually, this is very useful, particularly for the rangeland management. So you don't have to, in a traditional, you use the CRIP, the biomass sampling method, right? You have, if in a particular rangeland, the vegetation is a very special variable, so you have to CRIP here, there to get the representative biomass to estimate your potential for, not just for the hay, how much you get, and also for the rangeland, you can, for the pasture management, the farmer ranger or ranchers need to estimate how much biomass potential and then how many livestock I can put there as a stock load, so you can estimate. But with a remote sensing, you can use the handfill or later now have the sensors. Actually, you can mount to your pickup or four-wheeler. You just run through the range land and get estimate, and then how many livestock can put there. And from if you go further, actually, you can go use the Landsat satellite imager to estimate the regional biomass potential. Right? So have some application potential. Any other question? Yes?
Do you think we're going to be able to use technologies like this for dry biomass?
Yeah, actually, if you can get the robotic model in the future, actually, for example, at the biomass refinery, before you bring in, I show you the data, the biomass at a different cutting time, the quality is different. For example, at the peak growth stage, you have a lot of alfalfa, particularly a mixture species. The quality is different, and the early cut actually have more leaf on the less stem and have a low energy density. I didn't show the data here, but have a low energy density. But at the frost kill, you bring in biomass cut that time, have high energy density, more cellulose and hemicellular content. So you probably is easier just use that remote sensing, scan it to get your quality parameter, estimate how good the quality, and then based on the quality, you pay the farmer the price. So, yeah.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Yes. Yeah, actually have I show you that if you do better, actually let the one over there down there, actually one that wavelength at 970 actually respond to the moisture very well. Actually, remote sensing have been used for the moisture measurement, infrared measurement, the moisture content regularly. For example, if they commonly used in a grain measurement, grain that actually use the NIR to test the moisture content. So it has potential to apply. But I haven't done a lot of work on that yet. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you.